Appreciate Brother Casey leading that song. It's kind of a good setup for the studies that we've been going through, the series on the life that I now live. And we'll continue in those studies this evening. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Galatians, the second chapter, verses 20 and 21, this is the basis, the scriptures that are used for the basis of this series of studies. And while you're turning there, I want to join with the brethren in welcoming you here this evening. And we appreciate your attendance, and I appreciate the prayers on my behalf. It's my prayer also, and it's my hope that the study this evening will be edifying, and that we can all learn something from God's Word, and that we can all be uplifted, and that we can learn how we should conduct ourselves in our lives in Christ. The study tonight is the third part of the series of the studies that we are going through on the life that I now live, that observes the principles taught in Scripture that govern the life of the Apostle Paul, and the principles that molded his life and motivated him to mimic Christ and to provide Christians with an example to follow. The topic of this lesson is living by faith of the Son of God. And to begin our study again this evening, I want to read Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. Beginning in verse 20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And again, I have highlighted here the principles that we're studying in this series. And we've already looked at being crucified with Christ, and also Christ liveth in me. And tonight we are going to look at I live by faith of the Son of God. And we're going to spend a short time in the Scriptures learning about what Paul is referring to in this passage. You know, when we looked at what it meant by being crucified with Christ, we learned that it was the beginning of a new life. And it was a life that had been created in the waters of baptism, where unity in Christ's death, his burial, and resurrection took place, and where his shed blood cleansed us of our sins, where we arose out of that water a new life. And then that new life is given the opportunity to pattern itself after the life of Christ. And that's what we're to do when we're baptized Christians, is then to, that's what the word Christian means, is those who are followers of Christ, but we're followers of Christ in the way that he lived his life. And we talked about how we could determine whether or not, or how we could notice whether or not Christ liveth in us. And we looked at one of the main ways that we can tell is if the decisions we make in life and the things that motivate us in life and the appeals we have in life are from a spiritual nature, and that the spiritual is what guides us, not the carnal. And in that way, we can tell that Christ is living in us, that we have studied and that we have patterned our life after him, and that the Spirit is living through us. In those two studies, we also learned that a key characteristic of this new life is selfless submission to Christ, which consequently is submission to God. And in this lesson on living by faith, we're going to see that thread continues. So it may be prudent at this time in the study to look at the Word of God and understand a little bit more about faith. You know, many equate faith with belief, but faith involves more than just belief. And I think we'll see that in our study tonight. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 17, tells us where faith originates. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith can only begin by hearing, according to this passage, and that comes by hearing the word of God. That word of God that reveals him to us, that reveals his love, reveals his expectations, reveals his mercy, reveals his grace, and reveals his plan, the plan that he devised to save lost man. And then faith is a reaction to that word. It's more than just a belief. It's more along the lines of trust. It's more along the lines of a confident expectation. God's word is truth, and whatever is written in that word we have a confident expectation that it'll come to fruition, just as it was written. And we have seen lots of evidence of that. And whenever faith is mentioned in the Bible, it doesn't give the idea of an in-this-moment kind of sensation. It instead is constant. It's a way of life. And I hope that becomes more apparent as we study this evening. In Galatians, the second chapter, verse 20 that we just read, I want to take a closer look at what is really a twofold meaning in what Paul wrote. Now, earlier in that chapter, you know, faith is presented to the Christians there. You know, faith in Christ is communicated to them. Faith that Christ is who he claims. Faith that he, in his resurrection. And an example of this is in verse 16, where it reads, "Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified with faith, justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Now, Paul seems to make a distinction here between faith in Christ, and it's translated here, believed in Christ, in Jesus Christ, and faith of Christ, which indicates faith that belongs to Christ. It's his possession. It's the faith that was apparent in his life, the faith that he demonstrated. And this phrase, faith of, is also what Paul uses in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And many today, you know, take the very basic concept of faith as a belief, as I've already mentioned. And many think that if they believe that Christ existed, and some will go as far as to believe that Christ is the Son of God, then based on that belief, they think they'll be saved, no matter what else they do in their lives. But when we see this distinction in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, and then we couple it with Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we see that the Bible does not teach such an idea. If we only believe in Christ, and then we do nothing else to change, we don't change the way we're living, where is the new life? You know, Paul talks about the life I now live, indicating a new life. It's different than that old life. And if all we do is believe and we don't change our lives, then we're not fitting that description that he has there. Paul recognized that his belief in Christ, his faith in Christ, could not gain him a new life. His new life comes through change. It comes through the washing away of sin. It's a becoming a new creature. It's change that he could not accomplish on his own. And these changes can only be accomplished through the faith of Jesus Christ. And if we think that we can gain salvation by just going through the motions of announcing that we believe in Christ, even to the point of being baptized, but then we don't change the way we live our lives, are we any different than the Jews that Paul is calling to the carpet in this passage? You know, the Jews didn't want to change. They wanted to hang on to their rituals. They wanted to hang on to their traditions, to their ceremonies. And then they wanted to bind them on others. Others who were never under that and never meant to be under that system. Let's look at a couple of passages that'll help clarify this distinction in faith. In the letter to the church at Galatia, which we have just seen, that Paul at times was addressing the Christian Jews who were trying to bind the Gentiles to the practices of the old law, the Old Testament law. And in chapter 5 and verse 4 of that letter, Paul brings this practice into question. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." See, Paul is telling the Jews here who had converted to Christianity that if they're going back to the Old Testament law and the Old Testament practices and those deeds and those works, and if they're trying to gain justification through the works of that law, if they think through ceremonies and completing various rituals brings them to righteousness before God, then Christ is useless to them. He's of no effect. And because of that, he then follows with, "You're fallen from grace." Because the grace that comes through Jesus Christ is of no use to you if you can find justification through the law. If we go through the exercises of believing in Christ and being baptized, but we never change, we continue to hold on to the practices of the old man of sin. Are we any different than these Jews? You know, it seems that the same could be said to us. Christ is of no effect to you. you've fallen from grace. The third chapter of the letter to Rome addressed a similar issue with Jewish Christians in the church there. Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. It says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." This passage is going to take a little bit of explaining. See, in the law given to Moses, it was specifically given for Israel. The Gentiles were not subject to that law, but here in this passage it says that all the world may become guilty before God. See, the Gentiles were subject to a law. They were subject to that natural law, that moral law that's in the heart of all men that God has placed there. The law expanded and explained the principles that already existed in the moral law that resides in the heart. The law revealed Israel's guilt, and at the same time, it exposed the guilt of the Gentiles who were violating the same moral principles. And thus, the law was to condemn. It was not intended as a way of salvation. It caused man to realize and recognize his iniquities against God, to realize the need for salvation, the need for a Savior. The writer of Romans makes it clear that no flesh could be justified through the law, through the deeds of the law. Likewise, we cannot obtain salvation through any deed that we have accomplished. Salvation doesn't come through our works, but through the faithfulness of Christ, the life he lived, the sacrifice he made, all in subjection to the will of God. This similar sentiment is expressed by James in chapter 2 of the book that bears his name. In this chapter, he is addressing the idea of whether salvation can come through belief only. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." In this chapter, James is making it clear that faith should bring about action. It should bring about works. Action that shows submission. Action that reveals Christ living in us. Action that shows our obedience to him. See, James is basically saying that faith brings about change. And without that change, without that striving to mimic the life of Christ, that faith is dead. It's of no use. He illustrates this with the truth that the devils also believe in Christ. But you know, the devils are not going to do anything that even resembles submission to God. However, they have that belief, and that belief reveals to them their fate, and therefore they tremble. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, it assures us that righteousness is attainable. You know, we can't despair over the things that we've already read, because we know that faith through Jesus Christ brings about salvation. And in Romans the 3rd chapter verse 22, it assures us that that righteousness is attainable. In Romans chapter 3 verse 22, it says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Here it says that the righteousness of God is offered to all men, and that this righteousness was made possible by the faithful submission of Jesus Christ to the Father's will. You know, Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3 of that letter that he knew that righteousness could only come through the faith of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You know, here where Paul is saying, "not having mine own righteousness," you can almost hear him saying the same thing that he says in Galatians chapter 2. "It's not yet I. This life that I now live is not about me. It's not through me or my accomplishments." He says, "It's not mine own righteousness." He says, "It's the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ." See, Paul is saying that he wants to be in Christ. He wants to abide in him. He wants to be united with him through a faithful life, realizing that his own actions would not justify him, that only the faith of Christ and his obedience to the Father would bring about that righteousness, would be the only thing that could justify him. In our last study, we recognized that Christ lived a faithful life to the Father. In a complete submission to his will, Let's again look at those passages that we looked at then. In John, the 5th chapter, verse 19 is where we'll begin. In John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." See, Jesus makes it known that whatever he was able to do, he learned from the Father. He did the things that by watching the Father he learned. And he adds to this thought in verse 30 of this same chapter. In verse 30 it says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." And in both these passages, what Jesus is trying to get across, the message that he's getting across, is that he is in subjection to the Lord's will. And in this passage, he says, "as I hear." And you know, that very, very closely coincides with the Romans 10 and 17 that we read, where we learned that faith was taking action in response to hearing the word of God. And Jesus is saying, as I hear the instructions from my Father, then I submit myself to his will. I seek not mine own will, but I seek his. Let's now turn to John, the 6th chapter, verse 38, where Jesus seems to conclude this idea. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, he says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." You know, as we noted before, Jesus said his sole purpose was to do the will of his Father, to do the will of God. And we can be thankful that he did just that. He was faithful to his calling. It's that faithfulness that leads to our righteousness. It's Christ's faithfulness to mimic the Father in his life, to remain sinless, and to sacrifice his life to become an atonement for our sins. See, it's through his faith that brings about righteousness. Now, we have to have faith in him. We have to believe that he has done this. But our belief just motivates us to a proper life. It's his faithfulness that brings about righteousness. It's his faithfulness that took place 2,000 years ago plus, where he became the Savior that the law made it so clear that all of us needed. And now it's up to us to mimic that same faithfulness in our lives, to pattern our lives after Christ, and thus also submitting to the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul is instructing the church at Corinth to do this very thing. 1 Corinthians 11, and verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And we have looked at this passage in all of our studies so far, and Paul is saying, change your lives. He says, follow me, be with me, join with me as we change our lives to that new life that is patterned after Jesus. He says, follow me in my efforts to be like Christ. For the life I now live reveals that Christ lives in me, and it reveals him to those that I come in contact with. It shows that my faith is in him. To conclude our study, I want to look at Galatians, the 3rd chapter. We're going to read verses 22 through 27, which serves as a good summary for the lesson this evening. In Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, it says, "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." In this passage in verse 23, where he's talking about, but before faith came, he's referring to Jesus Christ there. He says, before he came and submitted himself to the will of the Father, before he came and became that pure sacrifice, we were under the law. But he did come. And he sacrificed his life on the cross, nailing that old law, that Old Testament, to the cross with him. And so we are no longer under that law. We no longer need that schoolmaster. It brought us to Christ. It showed us that we needed that Savior. And now that Savior has come. And for as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You become a new creature. You become a new creature in Him, and you now have the responsibility to mimic your life after Him. And we're compelled to do that because of His faithfulness and because of the promises that come through Him. Have you put on Christ this evening? How are you living your life? Is your life a new life? A life changed by the faith of Christ? One that's mimicking Him? One that shows that He lives in you? One that demonstrates that you love Him? Have you put on Christ to be united with Him in life? If you're not a Christian this evening, then you've not been obedient to His will. You've not put Him on in baptism, and we would encourage you to do that tonight. You know, we don't know how much time is left in this world. We don't know how much time is left in each of our individual lives. And so we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared for the judgment that's coming, and the only way we can be prepared is to be a child of God. If you're not a Christian this evening, we'd encourage you to accept His invitation to become a part of Him, to put Him on in your life. If you are a Christian, maybe you're hanging on to old ways. Maybe you're not submitting to the will of Christ. Maybe the old man of sin still has a hold on you. You know, maybe you're trying to gain justification through your own accomplishments. You know, whatever your need is, you have brothers and sisters in Christ that want to join with you as we search for that life in Christ, as we strive to pattern our lives after Him, and we're ready to pray with you, to study with you, and to help you in any way that we can. If there be one of either class tonight that's subject to the gospel call this evening, we'd invite you to come have a seat on the front pew as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.